Welcome to the Backstreet Podcast, episode 11. I'm your host, Danny Squires, and I'm here with my co-host, Michael McKnight. How are you tonight, Michael?
I'm not bad, Danny, apart from a sore ear. You know, is it going to get any better listening to you and our guests over the next hour? I don't know, but no, I'm good, actually. A lot to talk about, a lot of exciting stuff last weekend.
Yeah, I've heard that my voice is somewhat of a medicine for the ear canals. That's just what I've been hearing from listeners. So look, hopefully you pull off a bit better after the episode. What are we looking at in this episode today? There's been a fair bit that's happened, hasn't there?
Yeah. In part one, we're going to start with the weekend senior cross country championships, which were up in Cardona in Donegal. And I think we're then going to look back at the Armagh road races, the Irish Masters cross country, as well as catching up on, there was some indoor action at the Nationals, and we'd be looking at that from a northern perspective, I guess.
Yep, and then the second part of the episode, we've got a guest joining us.
Yeah, the best bit, okay. We've managed to persuade Seamus McCann, who's notoriously a man of few words and very few opinions, who's going to come on and talk about all things North Belfast Harriers. And we're also going to try and engage him in a little bit of chat about some of the big stories in the sport over the last week. Kelvin Kiptum and Mo Katir, among other things.
Some pretty big stories in the media. Unfortunately, the death there of Kelvin Kiptum and his coach. And then, the two-year ban of Mo Katir. But maybe we start with what happened in the NI and Ulster senior cross-country. That was up in Cardona, which was, as we sort of mentioned in previous episodes, a bit of a drive up. So I think a lot of my teammates went up the night before and stayed up there. Looked like a good day of racing. Didn't really look too muddy, to be fair. I actually think that the winner of the men's race, Finn McNally, was in a pair of Alpha Fly 1s. So not a pair of spikes, which makes me think it must not have been too bad. But yeah, just with the results, so in the women's race, the new signing for North Belfast Harriers, Emily Haggard-Kearney from North Belfast, she came first. And then Rosha Roberts from North Belfast, she came second. And then Annandale Strider, Robin McKee, came third. The team result for the women's was North Belfast Harriers, and I unfortunately could not see who the second and third were. I don't know if you can speak to that at all, Michael.
Yeah, I think it was St. Peter's in second, and Striders, I think, took the final place on the podium.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I just couldn't see it on the results. But and then in the men's race, as I mentioned, Finn McNally, North Belfast Harriers, he finished almost a minute ahead of second place on the results, a minute ahead of Iskander Turkey from Annandale Striders. So he must have had some run. Maybe we can get chatting about that in a second. But just to round out the podium, it was another Annandale Strider, Neil Johnston. He came third. And Annandale Striders won the gold. North Belfast Harriers was second. And Newcastle was third. So not what we predicted.
Yeah. I'll sort of reflect, first of all, on the women's race, if I may. So, Emily Haggard-Kearney made her North Belfast debut. I think we talked about her last week. She started as a really strong favourite and she was a class apart. I mean, I guess she's a proven high calibre athlete with a 70-minute half down to 15:39 for 5 kilometres. And that is a lot better than the competition. There was, though, a bit of controversy in the run-up to the race in that she was deemed to be ineligible to score on the North Belfast team. And one point, actually, it looked as if she wasn't going to get the green light to race at all.
Why was she not eligible?
I think it's because she's not resident in Northern Ireland. And I think you need to be resident to be able to compete for a local team. Maybe Seamus, our guest, when he comes on, can speak to that a wee bit. But I guess, the rules are there for a reason. However, it didn't affect her ability to race as an individual and she won really, really comfortably. North Belfast showed their strength and depth also by, her not being part of the team didn't hurt them. And they also were without Elisoa Crawford as well. And, they I think, I don't know if, is that the first time they've maybe won, or is the first time in a while that they've won the senior cross country? I guess they probably have won it before, actually, because Gladys and Breege Conley and people like that. Solid run from Rosha Roberts, who I think is just now out of the junior age group. And I solid enough run from Robin as well to complete the podium. But the men's race, you kind of nailed it. Finn McNally defended his title that he won last year with an absolutely dominant performance. I saw a little bit of video today that Kieran Carlin had taken, and it just looked, emphatic. He went out hard. And I think Neil Johnston and Iskander tried really gamely to go with the pace, but just couldn't. I was in touch with Neil Johnston last night, and he just said Finn was just too good. So, that happens sometimes. Iskander had to settle for second yet again. I think that's three times. And Neil was coming back from a calf injury, but he's a tough cookie, and he just showed his battling spirit. Team race was an absolute slugfest between Striders and North Belfast. I think Striders just edged it by maybe 3 points. I mean, arguably the loss of Andrew Milligan to injury hurt North Belfast, but the Striders guys won't care at all about that. And they're going to really relish the victory because North Belfast in recent times have pulled ahead a little bit and have been really setting the bar for local clubs with their success at a national level. I mean, second in the Irish senior cross country, a win in the Masters. So it's a great rivalry. It's really good for the local sport. And all the neutrals are probably anticipating the next battle. It'd be good to talk to Seamus about that. I mean, maybe Striders rained on their parade a wee bit yesterday, but all the guys can do on the day is their best. And actually, one athlete having a slightly worse run or a slightly better run could have changed it all. So there was really nothing between them. I think Newcastle, we talked last week that Newcastle would be on the podium as well. And again, they're showing that they've got good depth because they were missing both Patrick McNiff and Zach Hannah yesterday. And just a final thing, I think it would be really remiss of me and of us not to give a big shout out to the host club, Inishowen, who did a super job once again in staging a championship. They do a great job, and it's not their issue really, who comes and who doesn't come. And I think for the people who went, it looked like a really good day.
Yeah, I saw some great photos and footage from the races, and yeah, looked like it was a fantastic day, and yeah, a lot of, enjoyed by a lot of people by the sounds of things. I did see a bit of footage of the start of the men's race, and it looked like North Belfast, they all sort of went out quite hard as a bit of a unit, all five of them. I saw Conor McCambridge in there. Obviously Finn was in there. Not sure who else, but yeah, I thought that at that point that was maybe going to be it. North Belfast was just going to run away with it, but good to see that Striders were able to battle through. And yeah, Finn McNally, he must have had an absolute blinder. I know he goes out pretty hard, but yeah, it must have stuck this time. So that's the senior cross country for NI and Ulster. Moving on from there, it was the Irish National Indoors was also on over the weekend. Had a bit of a look at the results. Sort of, it's a bit outside my realm of knowledge a little bit, but I do have some sort of results from a bit more of a local perspective. There was a brilliant race, and I think maybe it was the finish of the weekend. That was between Nick Griggs and Cathal Doyle in the 1500-meter men's race. It was literally a dive over the line. Where Cathal Doyle just got over the top of Nick Griggs. I think they finished in about 3 minutes 49, which isn't blisteringly fast, so it must have been a fairly tactical race. So yeah, Nick Griggs in second, and then Louis Mallon from Lagan Valley AC had an absolute blinder. I saw the footage from the race, and he was basically as they sort of came around that top bend and onto the back straight, he was sort of sitting in sixth or seventh, maybe even further back. And by the time they crossed the line, he was in third. So he just absolutely flew past the rest. So awesome run for him. And yeah, I was talking to him a bit earlier, and he said he's really proud of that one. So congratulations, Louis, and coaches. So Berhane was also down there. He had a decent run. And Conor Curran from North Belfast, he was in one of the heats there, and he ran about 4:10 in the 1500. So good showing from him. The 3000 meter race had Callum Morgan from Canda. He was third in 8:19. And then another local performance was the Lagan Valley Women's 4x400 team. They came third, and that was Erin McMahon, Laura Frey, Issa McCarron, and Olivia Morgan. So, yeah, I guess sort of from like a Northern Irish perspective, those are some of the athletes that I noticed down there. Did you have any more that you wanted to mention, Michael?
No, I mean, I'll maybe just reference or pick up on a couple of the things you said. Yeah, the men's 1500 was a really intriguing race, and almost like a rerun of the National Outdoors in the summer, where Cathal Doyle got the jump on Nick and got the win. A little bit closer this time. Nick had a lot of work to do on the last lap, getting around the outside of the runners, and no disgrace. It was a really, really tight race, and sometimes that can happen. I agree. Louis Mellon had an absolutely stunning run, and he got some really big scalps. People like Kevin McGrath, Killian Kerwin, and this augurs really well for the summer for him, because I think he's still a junior. He could do something really spectacular this summer. So well done to him. Callum Morgan in the 3K. I think Callum will be a wee bit disappointed. He broke 8 minutes for the first time last week, but he'd been in the States for a couple of weeks racing, training, and the travel isn't always great prep, so he just might been a little bit jaded, but I would expect he will he'll bounce back from that pretty quickly. But always a good championships, and lots to watch and enjoy.
Yeah, I noticed that Callum was sitting at 4:01 for the mile as well. So, yeah, very, very close there as well to sub 4 minutes in the mile. I think Tony McCambridge, he was down there as well. He came eighth with a PB of 8:26 in the 3K. So, yeah, brilliant running by everyone there. Going back a bit further, though, it was the Armagh 5K that we, oh, 5K and international races that we sort of heavily previewed in the last episode. And that was followed, sort of a day or two later by the Irish Masters and intermediate races in Dundalk. But sort of staying with Armagh, I think it's, it'd be remiss of us not to sort of go into the details a bit of the results. So the night sort of kicked off with the sort of senior races with the women's 3K. It was Megan Davies from Sale Harriers. She came first in 9 minutes and 19 seconds. Then Carrie Hughes, she was also 9 minutes 19 seconds. She's Cardiff AC. And then Alex Bell, she came third in 9 minutes 21 seconds. And she runs for Pudsey and Bramley AC. I guess sort of from like a local sort of Northern Irish perspective, it was Fionnuala Ross who came ninth in 9 minutes and 27 seconds. Nikita Burke was 15th in 9 minutes 34. Anna Gardner, 27th. Hannah Gilliland, 43rd. And Rebecca Rossiter in 47th. The team results over there for that 3K race was Scotland, England, and Ireland. And yeah, Northern Ireland and Ulster was fourth, which was 5 seconds off third place. So not a bad run for the ladies there. And yeah, what did you think of that race, Michael? We were both there on the night.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good race. I mean, I was comparing the times to last year, and it was a fair bit slower. I don't know whether it was just the conditions, or maybe it was a little bit more cagey at the start. But it's always really good to see our local athletes. I mean, Fionnuala Ross is really Scotland based, but I was keen to see how Nikita Burke, Anna Gardner, people like Hannah Gilliland fared in that kind of environment. And it always strikes me that, our ladies as well as our guys would really benefit from, as many races of that caliber as they can get. Because we don't really get the density of quality in our fields. In our map, you switch off for, half a minute, you lose loads of places. The intensity of the racing is just up a couple of notches. But it's a very good experience for those who go down, and always really worth watching.
I wonder if the times were a bit slower this year due to the weather that we had leading into the race that night. I mean, it was freezing cold and raining a fair bit. So, yeah, I definitely would not have wanted to be running a 3K in those conditions. I think kudos goes to everyone who ran on the day and the night because, yeah, those are some tough conditions to be running fast in. The men's 5K race, that was sort of, yeah, highly anticipated. There was, a massive field of runners, 130 people ran sub 15, and I think around about 17 ran sub 14 minutes for the 5K. The title was taken by Topi Raitanen from Finland in 13:49. James Young from Morpeth Harriers, he ran 13:50 for second place, and then Alfie Manthorpe, he also ran 13:50 in third place. He runs for Shefflden and Dean. Northern Irish results, Jack O'Farrell, he had an impressive run, 14 minutes, 22 seconds. Craig McMeekin, he ran 14:26. Louis Mallon, 14 minutes, 29. Tony McCambridge, 14:25. Iskander, he ran 14 minutes, 29. And Annandale strider Cameron Stewart ran 14:41. So I guess, those are sort of the runners from Northern Ireland at the top end of that field there. Team results, or sorry, international results, Sweden, Finland, and Scotland. Northern Ireland was fifth. So, yeah, the Scandinavians came to Armagh and they certainly cleaned up. What did you make of those results, Michael?
The Scandinavians cleaned up. Was the weather a factor in to their benefit, actually?
Yeah, that was probably just a nice evening for them.
You were speaking to one of the Swedish athletes. I think a guy finished maybe third or fourth. Is that right?
Yeah, I think he, maybe fourth or fifth. Just called him after the race and was having a chat, and I just sort of asked, what'd you come over for? And he just said that they wanted to send a team from Sweden, and yeah, he was kind of disappointed he didn't get the win. I mean, I was right by the finish line, and just a massive cluster of runners came in. So yeah, it was basically anyone's race to win in this final straight there. So yeah, I asked him what he was doing over here, and he said he was there for that, and then he promptly replied with, "Why are you here?" Obviously being from Australia. So yeah, no, that was interesting.
So, in case anybody's wondering, Danny really impressed us at Armagh by speaking Swedish, and he actually lived there for a while. So we were all absolutely gobsmacked. But it's a pretty cool skill to have, actually, and very handy on the night. But going back to the race, I thought the race was stunning. To see that many people in the shake-up coming around the final bend and up the home straight, where you literally had, about 10 guys all in contention. And the Finnish guy who won it has won it before. He's a class act, European steeplechase champion, and clearly had the kick. And the thing that always impresses me is that these guys keep coming back year after year. So Armagh obviously is a real draw.
100%. I'm curious as well. When I'm looking at the results, I sort of see the scorers for Northern Ireland as, Jack O'Farrell, Craig McMeekin, and Louis Mallon. But Tony McCambridge actually ran 4 seconds quicker than Louis Mallon. So is it only the people who are named as representing that area that can be on the scoring team, or?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what happens is that people who wanted to be considered for selection had to put their names forward, and it's based on what they've done prior to the competition. So I don't know whether, Tony had put his name forward or not, but you nominate your team, and if other athletes from the same, country or whatever just happened to be in the race and run faster, too bad.
Oh, it's a stunning race. It was so interesting to see so many people running that fast. It kind of, I thought it would look more impressive than what it did, just due to the fact that there were so many people running, 15-minute 5K pace or faster. You kind of lose sense of how fast that is because everyone's going that quick. I feel like they really needed to just have someone out there running like, a 25-minute 5K, and just you could see the difference in speed as these other people flew past. But yeah, 130 people sub 15, that's, it's probably retained its name as being one of the fastest 5K races in the UK. So yeah,
And
absolutely
you know
stunning.
what I was thinking the other day, just as there was a big announcement made about the Belfast 5K, and this is not to diminish, Armagh's a fabulous race, but Cheptegei has run what, 12, 40 something, maybe even quicker.
Yeah, 12:36
Gates.
or something. So for people who
12:36.
don't know,
Okay,
Joshua
sorry.
Cheptegei has been named as one of the people coming to Belfast in the summer to compete in this 5K race.
So, we think of the guys at the front of Armagh, who are sub-elite, very good athletes, but kind of sub-elite when you start comparing them to this, the sub-13-minute guys. So it's a wild concept to think of somebody like Cheptegei running around the streets of Belfast in low 13s, maybe sub-13. That will be something to see, because that's just on another level altogether.
No, that's gonna be really interesting. Just to finish off with Armagh as well, so obviously the men's 3K race was after the 5K, and that was the last race of the night. That was actually won by Oliver Patton in 8 minutes 29 seconds from Kilbeachan AAC. Charlie Wiley or Willie there was second in 8 minutes 32, and he runs for Hercules Wimbledon. And then Lagan Valley's Charlie Jones came third in 8 minutes 33. So that's the second year in a row that a Lagan Valley athlete has been on the podium in the 3K. I think Louis Mallon, he won it last year. So absolutely spectacular. And that was a fantastic race to watch as well. Oliver Patton, I sort of got a good bit of footage of him coming across the line doing big celebrations. So yeah. Brilliant night of racing, and yeah, it was worth braving the cold for. What do you reckon, Michael?
Absolutely, absolutely. Although it did take me a day or two to get to feel my fingers and feet again, but worth it.
Yeah, 100%. The sandwiches and bits of porridge in the clubhouse after, or wherever that building was definitely warmed me up and helped me out a
Yeah,
bit.
yeah. So
Yeah.
Armagh, as well as putting on a fabulous race, great hospitality, coffee, tea, sandwiches, buns. Come on. We love you, Armagh.
That's it. That's it. Yeah, big day for North Belfast Harriers and Annandale in the Irish Masters. Is that right, Michael?
That's correct. Yeah. So this, yeah, that was the Sunday after Armagh. And a fabulous day for North Belfast, who won the men's masters, led
Masters
by
cross country
Dundalk.
in
Cross country,
Dundalk,
yeah.
yep.
And that was in Dundalk. So first home was Philip Goss in fifth, John Black in seventh, Chris Hutchinson in 11th. And the team was finished off by Gareth Lyons in 19th. They've been. I think they won the intermediate a couple of years ago, second in the Irish senior. Now they've won the Irish Masters. They're building up quite a list of achievements in recent years. Clonliffe were second, and Striders were third, John Craig in sixth, and Stephen Connolly in his first race in a couple of years, off the back of not a huge amount of training, posted a remarkable 10th. On the back of it was actually on the back of that run that Stephen decided he was going to be able to run in the senior cross country, and he was a big help in that. There was a kind of an interesting irony or kind of little sub story in all of this, in that the North Belfast victory was in part down to Chris Hutchinson, who's a former Strider. And had he still been running for Striders, how different it could have been. So there is something there about, in a club, it's really good if you can hang on to your talent. But, fair play to Chris, part of a winning team. But it was great to see two Northern teams on the podium. And John Black actually posted something to that effect, which was very magnanimous from his perspective. I'd also mention another North Belfast guy who did really, really well down there was an old training buddy of mine, Lawrence Johnston, and he took silver in the men's 65. You've probably come across, Lawrence in the time you've been here, but he's just one of those guys. He just keeps going, defying father time and aging, and keeps getting medals. So well done to him.
Yep, spectacular. And as you said, it's good to see that even though we're a lot smaller than the Republic, you can still send down teams from Northern Ireland and get on the podium. I mean,
Yeah.
North Belfast were on the podium down there in Kilkenny for the National Cross last year. So yeah, we can talk a bit more about that later when Seamus joins us too. So I think that's kind of all the results that we wanted to cover. Actually, I did have one more that I wanted to quickly mention. It was the Born to Run race. I think it was the series final in Castle Wellin. It was a 10K race, and yeah, Jack Sinclair from Roadrunners AC, he got the win in the men's race, or just in overall. And then Dervla Cox from Annadel Shriders, she won the women's category for that. And yeah, Jack was overall winner, so they both picked up nice little £75 voucher for pure running. So yeah, that always comes in handy. A fresh pair of shoes, maybe.
Absolutely, yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that's the last one for results. I think we should have a brief interlude, and then we can get chatting to Seamus McCann.
So, welcome back, and we're joined by Seamus McCann, coach, cheerleader, and former good quality athlete, who's going to talk to us about the ongoing success story that is his beloved North Belfast Harriers. Welcome, Seamus. What's the crack?
Right, Michael, I'm just laughing when you say cheerleading because obviously in my mind that's pictures of men and women like doing somersaults and all that sort of stuff. And I think if most people see me at a cross-country race recently, I'm far from doing a somersault or even doing a what's that one, a jumping jack or whatever. Couldn't do any of that there. But yes, the crack's good. We're just back from Carndonagh yesterday. We had a long day, a long constructive day, very eventful day. We got the bus left early from North Belfast at 9:30, and we got back last night at about 8:30. So we had a really, really good day. So you asking what the crack is? We brought what appears to be the end of the cross country season for North Belfast here. Well, mostly, Michael, and you'll probably laugh when you hear me saying this. Mostly a very good conclusion.
Yeah, what did you think of the race up there? Did you have a nice weekend? Do you maybe want to take us through it from your perspective? Neither of us were there, so it'd be interesting to hear.
Now, my perspective was we got to Carndonagh a lot quicker than we thought. So, the road up to Derry was no hassles. And then it was an extra 25, 30 minutes from Derry up to where we were going. So, we initiated, I don't know, I can't say anything what we were using, what methods we were using to measure how long it was going to take, but it was nowhere near as long as we thought it was going to take. So, we were in plenty of time. Very good. There was changing facilities, good places to park the bus. The course was well marked out. We got there early, put the tent up. In the show and Athletic Cup did a good job hosting everyone. As far this is from my perspective. You may well hear some of your listeners coming back and going like, that wasn't our experience of it, but my experience of it was pretty good. Knew what we're doing. We got our gazebo up, the North Belfast yellow gazebo up. We got everyone turned up to walk around the course, and we knew from the outset that was going to be tight. So obviously on the way up in the bus, we were analysing it myself and a John Black did a bit of talking about who was running the races, who wasn't running the races. We looked and we knew it was going to be tight women-wise, and we knew it was going to be tight men-wise. Men-wise, we knew it was going to come down literally man on man, us against Annadale. And the women's race, we knew it was going to come down to us, probably St. Peter's Lurgan, Te Fielde, and Annadale again. So we knew. So like, there was an air of anticipation and excitement about what could happen. And then the women's race went off, and obviously there was something. There was a bit of a. We had a woman running for us who was running for us as in North Belfast, but ran for us as an individual because so she couldn't count. So there was a bit of. We explained. Obviously, there's a wider context if everyone wants to know about that there, but we also had to explain that in terms of the context of North Belfast Harriers. So we had to explain that to our runners what was happening and all, and we did a lot of introductions and all, and everyone explained. So obviously, we had to explain to a lot of our own female runners that we've got a runner here, but she's not even going to count in the race. So that
Seamus,
was
can you speak to just without, what was the problem? Why was she not allowed to score for the team?
she wasn't allowed to score for the team, and this is a very valid point. She's not eligible to count in any athletic competitions, and the reason she wasn't eligible to count is she doesn't have residency, she wasn't born in NI, and her parents were born in NI. It's her father that was born in NI. So my understanding is, now again, I'm no expert in this. My understanding that that's her and her coaches, which is her father's understanding, is that she can run for NI under Commonwealth in the Commonwealth Games. So under that assumption, one assumed, one, I, namely me, and other people at that, and her father assumed that she could run for NI generally, and she could run for North Belfast.
So, do
I,
they know something about the Commonwealth Games likelihood of happening that the rest of us don't know yet, or?
well, you see, I think they're fully aware of the ins and outs of the Commonwealth Games. So I because not obviously from again, I'm not au fait all over the rules, but my understanding is you can compete for Northern Ireland. There was an understanding that she could potentially compete for the Commonwealth Games for Northern Ireland if that was to happen, or whatever guise it goes forward in the future.
Yeah, sir. Would she be able to be selected if she was interested in for the intercounties, for instance?
You see, Michael, again, there's a series of rules. There's a series of rules. I'm not a, you're asking me as to why I'm an expert in the rules. I'm not an expert in the rules. I am clear that the rules specifically state she could not run for the club. That is
Okay,
clear.
okay, okay. Well, look, let's park that one. So she couldn't run, but she won. She won the race pretty emphatically. So, what did you reckon? She's obviously a great athlete.
Very good runner. She can run 70 odd minutes for the half marathon, and she's done 15 something, 15:47 for 5,000, 5K. So she's a top class athlete. Now she then sees herself, especially for her grandfather coming from here. She wanted to run internationally for Ireland, and she in running internationally for Ireland, she's got an Irish passport. She's got an Irish passport. She wants to run for an Irish based, a club based in Ireland of Ireland, and she chose North Belfast. She probably seen an affiliation with North Belfast. Wanted to see a club that wanted. Has aspirations of greatness, and I would say not only aspirations of greatness, but like we're actually delivering on greatness. So obviously, with some stage may talk through this podcast about North Belfast dipping its toes in European competition for the first time in a
Absolutely.
while. Yeah, so like,
Absolutely.
so we would anticipate the women will do the same at some stage along the line.
Well, look, tell us a bit about then the men's race. So that must have been exciting to be a bystander watching it unfold.
Oh, the men's race is very good because obviously in the way up we knew that Newcastle had a pretty decent team, so we knew Newcastle had a team. We still thought we'd come down to ourselves in Annadale, and literally that's how it went. Out from that start, you literally saw North Belfast, Annadale, and Newcastle all packing at the front. Real, like, obviously there was a whole series of other talented athletes running as well, but that was the way it went right from the start, and then it was just a case of some of the runners. Some of the Annadale runners fell back, some of the Newcastle runners fell back, and some of our runners fell back of about a lap. So there were 7 laps in the men's race, and about 7 laps to go. Sorry, of 2 laps of the 7 laps to go, you actually then seen you actually seen it was apparent that Annadale was going to win by 2 or 3 points, unless some of the Annadale runners folded, or unless some of our runners suddenly was to have some miraculous, pickup in the last lap, and they just. So we knew a lap to go. We've been shouting with them 7 laps. We're shouting for the first 4 or 5 laps at our runners, at the North Belfast runners. This is very tight. This is very tight. And then 2 laps, a lap and a half, 2 laps ago, we knew it was very tight, but not in our favour. That and it was unlikely to change. So we knew in the last lap that we hadn't won it. We hadn't retained the title. So it was just unfortunate. Now, if you don't mind me going back to the women's race, because the women's race itself was very good, because obviously. The women's race, you had a lot of talented women who have run the cross country season. Most have run most of the cross country, but we also then had young Rosha Roberts, who hasn't done much running for us. So we had Emily had won the race, and then we had second place was young Rosha Roberts. That was an outstanding run for her. She came second, and then Robin McKee was third. So the women's race, they were all the top five, top six, top 10, effectively all of them ran very well, but it was a good standard quality race in the women's race. And they were well strung out. Emily hit it hard from the start. Russia went with her from the start. And then after a while, Emily broke clear. Russia broke clear and she was isolated in second. Then Robin broke clear and she was isolated in third. And then you had obviously a special mention goes to that, like that the I would say the legend that runs for North Belfast Harriers, which is Gladys Gagnel. Gladys was outstanding. Gladys was
Big, big
outstanding.
Gladys fans over here.
Oh, big time, big time. She's the contribution that Gladys has made to North Belfast and running as a whole, and everything else that she does in her life is just she's a very committed woman, and she gives 100%, and that's what she did
Yeah, and
yesterday.
I think that's really worth highlighting, Seamus, because I think there's something about whether it's North Belfast or Newcastle or Striders, but in a championship, you want athletes who are going to commit and be part of the collective, because it's actually you join a club because of what you can achieve working in collaboration with other people. So, Gladys, as a marathon specialist, could have lots of reasons to say, well, now a cross-country race doesn't suit me, but that's not how she rolls. And, what a great testament to her character.
Well, I'm just looking at the results here. She was fifth. She ran very, very well. She had Catherine O'Connor just in front of her, and she had Joanne Mills just behind her. And then you had the two good runs from the two young ladies from St. Peter's, Gillian McCrory and Kate Mahold. They ran very good. And then Sarah Grant led home the North Down crowd. And then your next runner, Katrina Elvington. Yeah, the point that you said was very good, because not only we had a couple of things happening. So the point that you're saying, Michael, was very high in our agenda when we were going up, because all the women in our club have worked very hard to win the league. So the league as a tool of engagement has been very, very positive for our club. So what we did is we focused our attentions on trying to win the cross country league. The cross country league is based on how you get on, but it's also based on participation. So we have tried every race that we competed in to have at least 10, 12, 13, 14, whatever it is, runners. So there's I'll use the women as an example, because we're talking about the women at the moment, but obviously the same applies in the men. But we had women running around who don't necessarily run cross country, who knew they weren't going to be the top 10, top 20, knew it was highly likely, highly, highly likely they were going to get lapped. And they still turned up because they knew that was club points. They knew in the club points that getting the club points, participation points, it was putting the club further up at cross country league. So there's a whole series of women we've got a number of women who turned up to every race, and I have to hand it to them, because some of us never liked and don't like running cross country races. But when you know you're going to turn up, you know it's going to be tough. You've come from the couch to 5K. You went through the whole process, and you know you're going to go up, and it's going to be hard. You're not going anywhere near the front. But so I think that was really great, and we all went for dinner afterwards.
What would you say has encouraged, a lot of these members to participate? Maybe some advice for other clubs out there that maybe want to increase their participation?
What has encouraged them? Well, you could say what, or you could say who, right? So the first thing to say is a who. So there's a Lyle Carton, Una McConnell, Helen Weir, or stalwarts. I mean, they're behind the scenes pushing. And when I say pushing, it's not even pushing, because obviously push might suggest that they're not necessarily want to themselves. It's enabling and encouraging them to do so. And we've run something called participation medals as well. So you'll get a participation medal for the club. And we'll run this at our Christmas do, where we'll give out the participation medals for those people who took part. So I think there's people encouraging them, there's people saying them that it's part of something more than yourself. It's part of a team dynamic. And even though you mightn't be winning it, you mightn't be in the top 10, that you're still contributing to the club doing well. So we've really pushed that this year, and they've done a really good job, and we've had real buy-in. And the other thing as well is that the cross country races are very good. And again, I'm seeing this with a lot of the cross country races I go to, is it, and it, but it's quite hard to do this, because it takes, I was going to say staff power, it's not staff power. I was going to say manpower, but it's not manpower, it's men and women. It's people power, because you get the gazebo up, that's a place for people to go. It's a place where everyone can stand and talk. In a cross-country race, people run repeatedly round and round, so you can give a lot of encouragement, serious amount of encouragement. So the cross-country races, there's a real team dynamic. So when you're saying what we'd encourage other people to do it's a team dynamic, and it is. You go there, you meet everyone, you stand, you get talk, you warm up, you hang around the gazebo beforehand, doing your warm up exercises or whatever you're doing. You run the race, you then cheer on the men afterwards, or you cheer on the kids beforehand, and you just feel part of the club. And if you notice, it's a lot of clubs are doing it. So, but again, that's all people power, because obviously they take the gazebo there, they put the gazebo up, and all. It's all time consuming. And what you find is that the club, pardon me, the club need people in the background. So obviously, what you're asking in terms of what's encouraged North Belfast is that we've got a lot of runners, but we've also got a lot of people who are behind the scenes who help out, and they're not necessarily they're helping out. They're not going to be running the race. They're not going to necessarily get the participation medal, but they will know that they contributed to the club doing well. And so we've got a lot of people who have been stalwarts to the club down through the years.
So strong team dynamic at North Belfast Harriers. How did that feed into the way that the men's race panned out?
The men's race was panned out the same thing. We knew that one of our top runners, Andrew Milligan, wasn't running. So we knew that we weren't going to be as strong as we could. We still thought we had strength and depth. But then, obviously, it shows you in running these races and running a series of races and trying to run well in a series of races, we have used up, not used, that sounds quite bad, but we've utilized the skills of a number of runners because we ran in the Masters. So I'm not too sure if you're aware, but we won the Northern Ireland Masters, men and women. And then the men went down to the Irish Masters and the men won the Irish Masters. So obviously some of the guys ran the Irish Masters last week and it's very muddy. Some of them hadn't recovered, so they weren't running. So we then knew that our squad going down in terms of the guys who were going to be up at the front, our squad was quite limited. Again, we had another crop of runners that applied in the women. We had the same in the men's in terms of participation. So there was a lot of guys turned up for the team dynamic. The team wanted to retain the title, and it was very important. Or we were very keen to retain the title. So keen that when the race was initially proposed for next weekend, we had officially written to Vlegs and I to ask them to move it. So that was initially for next weekend. However, as I've touched on already, North Belfast Harriers is going across to the European Club Championships, representing Ireland after doing very well in the Irish National Championships. So we knew that we could not compete in the NI slash Ulster Championships because it was on the same weekend. So we contacted Athletics NI and asked them, could they consider moving it? To which they did. They very kindly did. So obviously we were committed to running it, and the fact that they moved to force, we were committed to doing well in it, and we wanted to retain our title. So the dynamic was that we were going to run very hard to win, but we knew it was going to be very tight. And then do you know, I have to laugh because obviously you had him on last week, right? And or 2 weeks ago, Stephen Connolly was on a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying he was going to leave his retirement, and he was suggesting it was going to be the crack 10K. You know, that's what he was suggesting. And all I could say is he should just stick to what he was thinking in his own head. You know what I mean? Because obviously he was pretty important when it came to the actual
No,
scoring.
actually, interestingly, he was talked in a few weeks ago into doing the Irish Masters, and he just went down on speculation, and he had a fantastic run given the amount of training he's done. And off the back of that, we really needed him in the senior, and he ran, and it was kind of, I guess, just almost serendipity that he came along, because without him we don't win. And that's
I guess not.
sometimes just the way it rolls, I mean, the one thing that I enjoy watching from the side, in a sense, is that there is a fierce competition between the Antihill guys and the North guys, but there's a lot of respect, and actually they get on well, which hasn't always characterized the rivalries that throughout the years in the sport, as you well know.
Yeah. Oh, they get on very well, and you talk about North Belfast. North Belfast has got a long tradition running. We were starting in 1896 when I commissioned Malcolm McCausland to write a history of North Belfast Harriers. And one of the things he's talked about recently is North Belfast Harriers doing very well in something like 1921, 22, 23. Now, North Belfast Harriers won the Irish Championships, but they were rivals of a club called Ulsterfield. So Ulsterfield were a big club then. And there's a couple of other clubs up here who were top clubs. So even though you might win the Irish Championships, you might get beat coming from here. So the way you might get beat in the local competition. And the way I see that is Annandale something similar to us. Like we think now at this moment we're a pretty good club in Ireland. But there we are. We still get beat yesterday by our local rivals. So competition is good. And it brings everyone to the competitive nature out of all of
So,
us.
Seamus, I was going to ask you just on that, and again, you've touched on it. So, if I'm honest, I would say that over the last year, I think North have just edged ahead of all the local rivals, including Annandale, and kind of established themselves as the leading middle distance club. What do you really put? You've spoken about the community bit, but I'm thinking in terms of, coaching and infrastructure. What can you tell us about that? What's been the key to the success?
Well, the key to success would suggest there's one thing. I would suggest there's not one thing. There's a whole series of things. So obviously, the back of anything that I say now lies on the shoulders of people who were working in the club, like Matt Shields back in the early aughties and early teens. And Matt Shields obviously was, and even Eamon Christie was involved at one stage. So you're talking all the people helped put a clubhouse in place. They helped the infrastructures of the club. They helped them, like Matt's helped with the parkrun, the couch to 5K. So you've got, anything I'm going to say now, you have to bear in mind that this is, there's been an ongoing legacy. And I think this is quite reflective of North Belfast as a whole. What you find is the local community, a lot of people in the local community buy into it because it is their local running club. So a lot of people go to it. You then find that you've got, and this happens in quite a lot of clubs, that the whole family joins the local running club. So the McCambridges are a good example. You get all the McCambridges running in the North Belfast areas, but then you've got the Paddy was heavily involved as the chair. And also what you find is once there's buy-in by one or two of the family members, all the rest of the family members join in. So it's on the back of all these people and all these things I'm saying now that the success is probably linked into the main thing that I would probably say is that we've got a very good coaching structure, but one of the things that permeates throughout the whole club, this isn't just the high-end competitiveness, but this is also the social recreational, the couch to 5K. As we as a club, and I'll talk about it in a couple of minutes, an infrastructural team behind the club and the coaches behind the top club, we're here, and include me as one of the coaches, we're here to ensure that we empower the individuals themselves to get the best out of themselves. Now, and that takes us back to what we'd said earlier on in terms about the people running around at the back, because that's participation. They're running and they know that's a major achievement for them to run a 6K cross country. We as a club, we like to think that we empower and facilitate them to do that. Now, that is running a 5K, 10K, half marathon, or it's at the high end where you're talking about Andy Milliken trying to make an Irish and British team and trying to run a sub 4 minute mile or 3:40. So we think that there's an attitude and there's an ideology that's what we want people to do, but we're also not. That is now aligned to the fact that we're trying to set up the structures that enables that to happen. So we've got a whole number of coaching structures and setups. There's people working from people who are running 35 to 40 minute 5Ks down to people. So we've got coaches who will take that there, and we've got coaches who will take people who are running sub 14 minutes 5Ks. And there's a pathway of progression and a pathway that if you do get better and you want to get better, you can move on and do so. So the club, now this is why it's very hard to name one person or one thing, because there's, at each stage, we enable and empower people to get the best out of themselves. But then if the people want to stay there, that's all well and good. But if the people want to move on to the next stage, we provide them with the next stage. And that's obviously, you can always see it happening in the junior kids. We're now saying that we've got wee kids running, and what we're basically saying to the wee kids, and Gladys, we'll come back to Gladys. Gladys is an example of somebody who contributes to the club, not just in terms of running, but what you put back to it. So you've got Gladys coaching 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, and we're saying to the wee kids, if you stick it running, this Gladys is one of the best runners in Ireland that has been for years. If you stick it running, this is where you can do. This is what you can do. And they see Gladys doing the warm-ups, and she can do them very well, and she's still got a lot of spring in her. And that's what we're trying to say to everyone across the board. Now, I'm saying all this, and this is representation of what I think in my head. It'll be interesting to see what other people say, but I think it's the infrastructure. I think it's the coaching, it's the pathway, but what permeates throughout it is the encouragement, where we're trying to enable and empower people to get the best. And what their goals are, we're there to try to help them reach their goals. And if that's running a 5K, and that's why we're aligned to the couch to 5K and the parkrun. So obviously we're strongly aligned to the North Belfast.
Yeah, I think you're a really unique club in that sense, because you have roots in the North Belfast community.
Mm-hmm.
You're incredibly cross community as well.
Yeah,
you know, in terms of the two main, you know, traditions, but also in terms of the social spread as well, where, you know, people from university level right down to, you know, people who may be unemployed are looking for, you know, an outlet. And that's a really, you know, that's something to really cherish, because it's not the commonplace kind of thing. I can see some changes. I mean, St. Peter's are doing really good work. To Felter are starting to really do good work.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the newer model of running clubs.
I think St. Peter's and Defelter are in the same boat. They're giving people, they're not giving people, because most, you said not to get into philosophical debate before we went live in this here, but obviously if we do get into some touch, I would say most people aspire towards something. And most people have goals that they want to set themselves. We enable and help people to do that. And I think what you're talking about, St. Peter's Lurgan, to Felton all is the same. It's and they're bringing a cohesive group of people together. We're not only other inspiring individuals, but they're bringing them as a cohesive team together and say, listen, this is a shared goal. And shared goals and collective goals where you're working as a greater community gives you, reinforces your own goal and helps you go forward towards even greater, with greater impact. So it's, but then there's a whole series of groups, clubs out there trying to do the same thing.
It's a club for all by the sounds of things. I guess, having said that, one of the, I would say, the highlights recently for North Belfast has been, that win down there in the Irish at the Irish cross country. And now subsequently the team is heading off to Portugal. Do you want to sort of talk to us about how excited the fellas are for that? And obviously the rest of the club?
Well, I'll talk. If you don't mind, you're probably thinking he's going to go on. I'll talk about the day itself, because obviously, in the day itself, we were down there, and this is very interesting. This shows you how the club dynamic of the clubs. So we were down there, and we were down at the actual race. We were talking to the actual organisers of the race. So the organisers of the race, they must have been putting out live results, and we subsequently found this when we got home. So what you find was they were coming back. We were told anything we say to you is not the official result. So we were initially told we'd won by 2 points. Then we were initially told we had tied, but we had potentially won. All this must have been going out in the live stream of the results. So there's people at home believing they had won, whereas we were stood down there in the crowds, realizing that we hadn't won, and they were actually clarifying it. And as it turned out, we were joint points with Kilkenny, but Kilkenny either on the first score or the last score beat us. So obviously it was ecstatic, something we've been working for. Last time North Belfast won the Irish Championships was 1923. So we thought 100 years afterwards we would do it. But needless to say, we joint points, but we didn't win. The guys are very excited, very, very excited. And not only the excited, but again, this shows you where the club stands. This shows you where the club stands in terms of, I'm going to get a plug in here. This shows you where the club stands in terms of the local community, because obviously we then talk to some of the local organizations and some of the local companies, and we've got very good sponsorship from a company called Ligon Strategic Group. So Ligon Strategic Construction Group are sponsoring the team to go out. So everything's paid for. The team's going to go out, six runners, four of which will run, and there's two reserves, and then two managers are going to go out. And that's not just ahead of it, because lo and behold, we're going to have about 20 or 30 supporters going out as well. It's a bit strange. We're all going out to Portugal. We're just going out to Portugal because it's going to be bleak weather, and we're all flying out on Saturday morning, coming back on Monday. The race is on Sunday, and I think it's actually four to run, three to count. And we actually, we'll see. We'll see. This is the first time us doing it in this cross country race.
Seamus, what's your team?
Our team, well, that's a Michael. That's we don't think as of now that Michael Andrew is going to be. We don't think he's going to be able to make it. We think he's obviously got a bad injury. He wasn't able to run for us. Andrew Milligan wasn't able to run for us yesterday. He's unlikely he's going to be able to run for us this weekend. So that then means it'll be Finn, Matthew Lavery. It'll be the boys that ran yesterday. It'll be Finn, Matthew Lavery, Conor McGaughey, and Colin McCambridge, and that's anticipated team. And then we'll have Cathal Purvis as a travelling reserve. So he's what you do is you name the six, and then you can run for them. With Andrew pulling out, we then had Conan moving in. So that's it. And we've got it. As I said, there's going to be a whole series of other people. If anyone else pulls out, Phil Goss is going. So if anyone else gets some happens, then Cathal can then run, and then Phil can then run. We're going to have a lot of people out there who I assume might bring their running kit. I'm hoping they're going to bring their running kit in case anything happens. So what you're asking, Danielle, you asked, well, what does the club think of it? Major, major achievement. This is because obviously success is quite personal to most individuals, and it's about achieving your own goals. Success in terms of a club in term on the island of Ireland is to compete internationally. So that's the pinnacle of the success that you're going to get to. So obviously now obviously winning the Irish Championship is probably the pinnacle, but like we were very close. We effectively said we were kind of, maybe we're very close to winning, but it's also then representing the company. So that as a club has been outstanding. It represents what we wanted to do. It represents what people can do. It not only that there, but then it also shows to runners out there, runners in our own club, the wee kids, everyone else, Couch to 5K, people who are potentially thinking of joining the club, and this does sound like a plug, but people who are potentially thinking of joining the club, we aspire to compete internationally at a European level. Not only do we aspire to do it, but we've shown we've done it already, and we aspire to continue to keep on doing that there. And that's what we're trying to move, and that's what we're trying to do. So if obviously anyone wants to run at that level, that's what we're doing. That's what we hope to do. We've been anticipating the team we've got, we're going to be up there for the next lot of years.
Well, look, Seamus, we're delighted to have you on, and we're eagerly anticipating how the guys do. I think it's really exciting that a local club is going to be there, and I think I'm right in thinking that Lagan Valley
You are right.
juniors are going also.
Lagan Valley under 20s are gone. They did it first. They won. So obviously you heard us saying when we came second on countback. They actually won it outright. So they won the Irish under 20 championships. There's a whole squad of them gone out there. I think what day is it? Tuesday? I think they might be coming Wednesday and Thursday. Going to do a bit of one
So
outright.
look, Seamus, it's been great to talk some North Belfast with you. We're going to move on now, but we'd love you to stay with us to
No
hear your
more.
thoughts on a couple of other things, because there have been some big stories in the world of international athletics over the last week. So, Danny, what's been breaking?
Yeah, thank you so much, Michael. Look, there were a few big stories that sort of eventuated since we spoke last and recorded an episode. One of those was the sad death of Kelvin Kiptum and his coach, Gervaise Hakizimana. Really sad day in the world of running. I think this one really, hit a lot of people that, such a young guy who had so much in front of him passed away, as well as his coach. For those who don't know Kelvin Kiptum, he's the world record holder for the marathon. He ran 2 hours and 35 seconds in the Chicago Marathon, which was last year. And it was probably, it was pretty well understood that he was going to go sub 2 hours in the marathon this year. And, even more so, I was really looking forward to the Paris Olympics, where both him and Eliud Kipchoge, previous world record holder for the marathon, were going to go head to head. It was the first race where that was going to happen, and I think it was going to be a real highlight of the game. So, yeah, unfortunately, he's passed away, and I believe he was driving home from where he lived in Kenya back to Iten or something like that, back to go for training for the week, and went off the road. So, yeah, really sad. I don't know if that sort of came across your radars.
Yeah, I mean, it reminded me obviously of things like Prefontaine and another great talent lost. And there was a guy, Ivo van Damme, who was a better junior than Steve Ovett, killed in a car crash. And I look at what Ovett did, and he wasn't as good as Van Damme. And there's always that sense of, what could have been. Yeah, a big blow to the sport. And Kipchoge, I saw, made some, really, really offered some beautiful comments. Just in terms of, the respect that he had for Kiptum's talent and everything else. But yeah, these awful things happen, unfortunately.
I was going to say as well, Daniel, you might know this, but not only Kelvin Kiptum has passed on, but there was a guy called Henry Rono that died very recently. Now, Henry Rono, if you're a runner of a certain ilk or a certain age, you're going to remember Henry Rono. And I am a runner of that ilk that remembers Henry Rono. Henry Rono was what got me started in running, and I got a serious amount of people into running. There was posters of Henry Rono up with his Washington State University vest up in, I went to school called St. Margaret's College, up in St. Margaret's College, pictures of him running across the Grand Canyon. And Henry Rono, if you know nothing about him, check him out. He was brilliant. There's a couple of his races that go down in memory. The race between him and Steve Ovett, I think it was the 2 mile in Crystal Palace on a Friday night, is just, this is what just gets you into athletics. So again, he passed away recently. It was just, yeah, it just brought back that, he brought, they not only do they bring enjoyment for themselves in terms of what they do, but they bring so much enjoyment to the rest of us who are athletic fans, and you see them run and see with such passion that they run. It's inspiring.
Was Rono, was he an 800 meter runner back in the day, or?
Oh, he was a 5,000, 10,000 in steeplechase, 2 mile, 3 mile. So he basically, I think he held four records at one stage, and he held a 3,000 meter steeplechase record for something like, was it 14, 15 years? And he held a 5,000. I think he was the first person to go sub 13.
Seamus, if I'm right in thinking that Rono used to run with that, what became like a classic East African tactic. He used to run slow lap, fast lap, and it just used to destroy the Europeans, who they really relied on getting into a rhythm, and they couldn't live with it. It was basically like an interval session in the middle of a world-class race.
Oh, it was brilliant. That's what I'm saying. I would like to tell you the story about the race of him, and I could spend the next 10 minutes talking about it. But I think if you can't, if you got access to YouTube, go on and have a look between him and Steve Ovett. And like, it's just brilliant because some of that came into play. Some of that came into play, Michael. He was Henry Rono was a legend. It remains a legend in my mind, and I know many other people who like myself are maybe in their mid-40s or slightly older can remember that.
I was going to say I've never seen that, so that's a good bit of education for some of the younger listeners as well. Maybe we can report back after we've done our homework for next week's episode.
So it's interesting that, we've obviously been talking about the loss of a great athlete. The next big story was about the fall from grace of another not quite as great an athlete, but of a very good athlete.
Yeah, so I don't know if you saw this as well, Seamus, with Mo Katir. I think he's sort of he's been wildly speculated against for a number of years for his amazing progression. But basically, yeah, the news broke in the past 2 weeks that Mo Katir had been pulled up by the Athletics Integrity Unit for three whereabouts failures, which obviously, if you're an elite athlete, you have to get tested for if you're doping, that sort of thing. And you can basically log your whereabouts on this app, and you have to do that. And if you miss three of these whereabouts, I guess, if you have three whereabouts violations, then you can get an official ban from the sport. So, yeah, it just came out a few days ago that he's been banned for 2 years. I did a bit of digging into a few things about this. So he's banned for 2 years. That means he's going to miss the Olympics and he's out of the 2025 World Champs. He'll be back in 2026, so he's only going to be 27 when he comes back. To me, that kind of sounds like a good result for him. He's still going to have plenty of running left, and he can train a lot in the next 2 years. And also, I just want to say, no one, he hasn't been caught for having prohibited substances or anything like that. It's just that he's sort of not been where he should have been, and he's failed these whereabouts tests. So, anyways. The Mo Katir progression, 3:36 over 1500 meters in 2020. And then in the space of a year, he went from 3:36 down to 3:28 in 2021. And his 5000 meter times went from 13:50 in 2018 to 12:50 in 2021. So pretty phenomenal progression. A little bit more on the whereabouts failures. The first one was, he was not at home in Spain. He had said that he got called away to go and see his girlfriend who'd fallen ill quite suddenly, and she lived in Lisbon in Portugal. He said he was visiting a girlfriend on a last minute trip, but when they looked up the flight confirmations, so when he booked the flights, they were a few days in advance of him making this story. So that was one. The second one was a violation while he was in France. He said he could not update the app that they put their whereabouts into. And when that happens, which I mean, I guess that can happen, when that happens, you're meant to email the testing agency, whatever it is. But instead, Katir emailed the app, and the app said to him, "You need to email these people to let them know." So he didn't follow up on that. So then he failed again. And yeah, the third test was in October. And I think all of his results after maybe October 10th or early October are being struck off. That was when he missed the third test. He was basically not where he said he would be. And then, yeah, later in the day, after they'd already been there to try and test him, he tried to update the app to basically, update his whereabouts. But yeah, three strikes and you're out. What do you fellas make of this?
Well, I was going to say there's a lot of literature on social media if you read it. And I don't know who I read, but it's not for me to comment. We don't know what the man's going through in his life. And maybe he doesn't know how to use the apps. Like I know a man like myself would find it complicated. So maybe, although obviously he's a paid athlete and he should know what he's doing. So maybe you have to give him a bit of, slack. However, I would say if you go onto social media, it's very interesting when they actually talk about there's a can't remember what the post was, but there's a very interesting post that actually talks about why it's so advantageous to potentially miss a test. It's better to miss a test, especially if you're microdosing and all. So some really good literature out there explains what it is you're following. So obviously, if you put it back a couple of days or whatever, it allows certain things. Not saying that he was doing that. I'm not saying that's what he was doing or anything to get there, but there's a lot of information if you go out and read through it and all. It sets the context very well. So what do I think about it? I think if you're a professional athlete, you have to adhere to the rules. You should be aware of what the rules are. The rules are there to ensure that everyone is on a relative level playing field. So yeah, but I don't know the man's circumstances. I
I
don't
think the
know.
interesting thing, Daniel, again, going back to social media, is the reaction of other athletes, which isn't one of, oh my goodness, this is a huge shock. I suppose, express my views around the current state of doping within middle distance running in the world on a number of occasions on the podcast. And I think it may be confirms that there is a problem in the sport at the minute, and really, it's got to be down to World Athletics. You want to protect the integrity of the sport; they've got to do better. We want a clean, fair sport that we can believe in. And when things like this happen, it sort of undermines our confidence. You talked about Seamus about being a fan, and that's, as a fan, you want to believe what you see.
With regards to Mo as well, I was just going to jump in there. You know, what you're saying about the social media bit as well is completely right. I mean, there's a quite a big ultra marathon runner and trail runner called Stian Agermund. He's from Norway, and he actually in the past 2 weeks also failed a doping control test for a diuretic. He basically, you know, he said that he doesn't know how that diuretic was in his blood or however it happened. And the reaction from all of his peers, all of the big names in ultra running and trail running and just across that side of the sport, they all, you know, were by his side, you know, with him for that, you know, sort of supporting him. But then when you look at, I guess, Mo and the reaction that a lot of like his peers in the sport gave once he tested, or he's, you know, failed this and then he's out of the sport. It's of, you know, knew it, or obviously, or you know, they knew it was something fishy from the beginning. So yeah, it's quite interesting.
Moving on to a more positive story.
Something a little bit more positive. Another stalwart in the 5K distance, Joshua Cheptegei. He's coming to Belfast in, I think, early June. He's coming for some race that's been newly set up. Do you know a little bit more about that, Michael?
It's James McIlroy, former absolutely outstanding 800 meter runner, a 144 guy. Ran for the distinction of running for both Ireland and Britain. James these days is a very busy race promoter. He is the man behind the Antrim Coast Half Marathon, which in a very short space of time has established itself as, a world-class half marathon. And he clearly wants to do something similar in terms of 5K. So he's planned this. It's run the Titanic Quarter, the new University of Ulster, based in Belfast, early June, 6 weeks out for the Olympics. And signing up Joshua Cheptegei as a masterstroke, because you've got to believe if you can get him, you're going to get other guys of similar quality. And we could have some of the fastest, runners in the world over 5,000, 10,000 meters running around our streets, which is an incredible prospect.
I would agree, Michael. They're probably going to be running around basically what's north Belfast. So I wouldn't be surprised how many of them think we might stay in Belfast, particularly north Belfast, and actually join North Belfast Harriers. I think they might be. We're talking to them, you know.
Seamus, you'll be down hanging around with transfer forms.
Yeah, transfer form sent. Oh, do you like this then? Well, I think everything you're saying, Michael, totally agree. It's down. It's putting Belfast on the map, as putting the University of Ulster on the map. So I think you have to, and just like he's done the same on the East Coast, like when you think about it, the scenery for the East Coast half is brilliant, absolutely jaw dropping. So I presume he's going to do something similar here. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
So, Seamus, I'm going to draw on your coaching expertise and your great athletic acumen now. So, Danny, we're going to talk about Danny for a while. Danny, that's penciled in the Belfast Marathon. It was just too big a deal, too big a draw for him to ignore. So, How's the training going, Danny? And just tell Seamus about some of your sessions, and you want to get the seal of approval.
Yeah, well,
That might be hard.
yeah, I've been well, we'll see how we go. I've been going back and forth on, so I do have an entry for London and I do have an entry for Belfast. It was looking like I couldn't get down to London because we were going to go back to Australia, but now potentially that's off the cards. So I might be doing London opposed to Belfast, or I might do both, or I'll just keep both lined up. But anyways, with regards to the training, it's been going really well. Last week I did 92 miles, and with about, yeah, I mean, the Saturday and the Sunday, I ran about 40 miles over the 2 days. I've been running a lot with the Roadrunners guys, and there's, yeah, a few people you'd be familiar with over there. I mean, I don't think he's part of Roadrunners, but Marty Ray, he sort of joined some of those runs, and he's told me a lot about, Matt Shields and all of the sort of classic training routes around Belfast. So I'm getting a good, sort of tutelage of marathon running in Belfast. But yeah, we actually did a pretty tasty session down at Craigavon Lakes Sunday before last. Went down there and I was running with a group. It was with Noel McNally, Neil Weir, and Gary Montgomery. We did 21 miles in total with 2 by 6 mile at marathon pace, and we averaged 5:47 for the 6 mile reps. That's a little bit quicker than marathon pace for me, I think, because that's about 2:30 marathon pace. But yeah, such a good spot for a marathon workout down there. It's like a 3 mile loop, so we did two loops, and then we did a loop just like jogging, and then we did two loops again. And I was actually really surprised by how it felt. Like once we started that second set of like 6 miles, I sort of took a second for my legs to get going, and then yeah, I was kind of running behind the group a bit, and I felt like my stride was getting chopped. So I just kind of jumped out to the front, and I just was able to sort of push the pace. I think I've sort of realized that I need to learn how to run as part of a group a bit more, and just sort of sit in, because I feel I definitely feel a bit more comfortable getting to the front there and, like, actually taking the pace myself, because I feel like I can gauge how I feel based off that. But yeah, fingers crossed that if I can keep up some big mileage weeks like that, and some good sessions, then yeah, might be somewhere around 2:35 in London. I don't know if, yeah, has that impressed you, Seamus, or have you got any tips and points of wisdom for me?
Well, a couple of things I would say. You've got very good guys. You're working with very good guys. You're running with very good guys. These guys are more knowledgeable on marathons than I am. So, like anything they're going to say to you, I've listened to them. They have done, like Marty Ray in particular, like he's a world champion, ultra champion. He's been doing this for years. So, listen to them. The one thing that I would say, I'm going to try to say this to any athletes that I'm coaching or I'm involved in, is that don't leave your effort out on the training field. You have to. So when you're saying you wanted to go up there, you have to learn to calm yourself down, and you don't want to run at a pace that's too fast. You have to remember, it's not the training that's going to get you good. Well, sorry, it is the training that's going to get you good, but it's the training isn't the race. The training is what gets you there. And if you wreck yourself in training and you can't run as well as you should have in the race, you're kind of missing the point of it all. So the point of it all is to keep a measured approach in training. So if you were saying your five, like the 5:47s, there's a lot of stuff out there in terms of statistics, in terms of what you can plug in your figures and see what pace you should be running at. 5:47 to me, if that's slightly, maybe that's probably slightly too fast. So what you could have done and maybe should have done is maybe sat at the back or started 30 seconds ahead of them, let them catch you, and then you could have still been running, because you can adjust a session that you call run together, but it means that people. And I'm saying this, and I never did it myself because I always wanted to win every rep and do all this sort of stuff. But the key is that you have to be sensible, and you have to look at what suits you, and you can work it all. You can work it all out, and you don't necessarily need to get sucked in to like I'm going to run as fast as I can in these sessions, and I'm going to gut it. There was a Michael. I'll say this: when we used to run, and this goes back to like I remember guys like Mark Kirk, Richard Rodgers, all these boys, and Michael, and all they know all about. We used to go out in the sessions and run as hard as we could, and not only in the sessions, but in a long run on a Sunday, and he'd race each other over the last 2 miles. But it was all a bit of banter, you know what I mean? But it was madness. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like most of us, if you talk to most of us didn't make it beyond our like our 20s, our mid-20s, late 20s, because we were wrecked. We were wrecked because we were doing too much. And a lot of the people would work off the like 80, 20% rule. So obviously in terms of intensity and all that. So my advice is, yeah, you're hitting the mileage, you're doing the sessions, you're getting the variety in terms of what you're doing. You're going to people who are giving you excellent advice. I'd say listen to all that, do everything that you're doing, but maybe temper your enthusiasm in the sessions. That would be
Danny,
my
it sounds to me like you're leaning now towards London. Oh, don't know if I like what I'm hearing here, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it probably would be more of a, it would be a better story if I came out and had a good run in Belfast, but I don't think that I could run sub 2:35. Maybe I could in Belfast, but if I'm in that kind of shape, then I just would love to go somewhere where I know that there's going to be a big
What's the
group and a fast
time gap
course.
between both? What have you got? What's the interval between both?
2 weeks. So I can keep Belfast on the back burner in case London goes terribly, I think, for this one. And yeah, I totally get what you're saying, Seamus, about, running within yourself during sessions. And I'm definitely not someone who tries to show off in the training or anything like that. I definitely try and like sit in a bit and only run to the pace that I feel I am capable of, or what I sort of gauge as marathon pace. I would say that right now I'm sort of in a spot where I don't really know how fast I could run for the marathon. So whilst I don't think 5:47 is going to be my marathon pace, it could eventuate that it's not too much slower than that. I mean, I felt really good in that session, and yeah, I just don't really know. So yeah, with regards to London, I'm thinking now I've got, I've done a couple of marathons now. I've sort of run those both quite conservatively and they've gone pretty well. I was thinking with this next one, maybe I'd try and have a bit of a crack and, throw caution to the wind a little bit and yeah, sort of try and run a bit faster in the actual race and hopefully it sticks. But yeah, at the same time, it could just go really badly. I'm not talking drastic numbers, but we'll see.
Have you got any races planned before any halves or 10 milers, sort of in the run up to London?
Yeah, I picked up an entry for Carlingford, which is the 2nd of March, so not this weekend coming, but the one after. So yeah, fingers crossed I can have a decent run there.
Daniel, that's ideal because you run that dirt and there's an app out there, like an app called Run Fast Coach. You get your 10 mile time and you plug that all in and that will tell you the paces and it's pretty like it is pretty accurate and it will tell you what you should be doing the training and that. So yes, the Carlingford 10 mile will be pretty yeah, be very good. And then what you do you use that as a gauge to what you should be doing, your target marathon pace and all that sort of stuff. That's yeah, that's very good.
So that's all very exciting. I'm thinking amongst the Wasteland Track training group, Dan, I think we're going to open a book on you and maybe a five or a pop and try to get the person who gets closest to your actual time takes the cash
Yeah,
and maybe
I can give.
enough to get a pair of shoes. Yeah.
Yeah, I can give them a signed Annandale vest or something. Yeah.
Yeah, well that yeah, you might not get as many takers for those, you know.
No, that's true.
All
Do you
right.
know any of the guys over in North Belfast doing any marathons, Seamus? Connell, I think I was chatting to him the other day, and he's maybe going back to London or.
He's hoping to go back to London. He's on his London preparation. Him and Matt Shields is his coach. So him and Matt Shields are dialing in their training, looking at the training. They're drawing up a training plan. They're drawing up an eating plan. They've got everything. So that's what he's hoping to do. That's right.
And Conan for Belfast, maybe?
I think so. I'm not too sure. I never actually asked him. I'm like, yeah, I know he's training very hard at the moment. So I'm not too sure.
So, Danny, the other big news, which is just why we've got Seamus here, because it does have a relevance to the wider McCann family. Stephen Connolly has taken over from Jake Lennox as the procurer, the dealer in Wasteland Track Club merch. So the new blue T-shirts with the white Wasteland Track Club logo came out last week. And I think there's one that's heading to Cardiff, Seamus. Would that be right?
I wouldn't be surprised in the least because, and I don't know, I've got a son called Connor, and in some way, I'm not saying anything about the Wasteland Track boys, but obviously they think they're reasonably hip and chic and cool or whatever it is. And I'm not saying that my son thinks something similar, but he must think something similar if he wants to get a t-shirt and all it says it and all, yeah. So he likes your branding, and yes, he has
Well, do
been
you know what
helping
it
me
is,
out.
Seamus? And it's interesting is because chatting about the guys is that The Wasteland Track Club is, you'll like this. It's kind of like a runner's cooperative. And it's a state of mind and an attitude that actually, to be honest, should transcend the whole concept of running clubs. And actually, to be honest, as a coach now, I could care less who the guys run for. We've had a couple of other people have come along to the group. People have been home for holidays who've jumped in, like Jack Steenson jumped in, and that's a really enjoyable thing to do. And equally, I think it's great when Dan, who sometimes trains with our guys, can nip off and train with the Roadrunners guys. And actually, that's really what we should be aiming to create, as opposed to these silos of, you have athletes who train with Kirky's guys, So that's really what we're kind of, trying to generate.
Michael, you know I can't say anything because back in the 1990s there was a whole crew of us ran from all different clubs and all, even though we were bitter rivals and all. So, yeah, I one sense you need probably one or two training sessions where you get the club dynamics. So you need them running as a club dynamic, especially if you're pushing the club. But at the root of all this, we all love running, and it's always good to get out people running with people who love running, talking about running and the whole vibe to do with running. It's You can't, and that's where you make your friends. That's where you make your friends for life via running. And they not may not necessarily be in your club. They might be your bitter, not bitter rivals, but they may be your rivals. And then that's who you still talk to. I'm still very friendly. We're family friends with a guy who I used to run against many years ago called John Lister, and he was Allendale through and through. And Jim Campbell is another boy that we're friendly with, and these were. Now, this one I talk about, I went and joined Allendale at one stage as well. But like these guys, we were for periods of time we weren't even in the same club. We were very serious
After you
rivals.
joined Annadale, Seamus, were you able to get treatment for that, and did it work?
I'm still recovering, Michael. I'm still recovering. You know what I mean? Now that's out in the open. I was actually in Allendale. I don't know what I'm going to do now. People are going to actually realise that there. But no, I
Yeah,
was.
apparently, if you go to Athletes Anonymous, you can say, "My name's Seamus. I'm a recovering strider." I think that's maybe a good note to end this episode before we go down that particular track.
No, I totally agree. I guess if people are racing or like running similar times and stuff, you got to keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. And if they are your rivals in races, they're probably going to make good training partners. So.
Well, look, Seamus, I knew that if we got you on, and you took a wee bit of persuasion, I knew that you wouldn't be short of a word or two,
Oh,
and
gee, Ian.
would have, lots of really interesting things to say. So thanks very much, man.
We wish North Belfast all the best in Portugal. Looking forward to seeing how they
Thank
go
you.
down there. And
Thank you.
it's going to be really interesting. Thanks everyone for listening as well. This has been a lot of fun to put together this episode. And if you haven't already, told a friend about us or gave us a rating on Spotify or on the rest, feel free. And we're also on Instagram. So yeah. We'll see everyone in 2 weeks, and thanks for listening. Hooroo.
Peru.